should have a dream. We all should have a vision. We all should see what God's purposes are for our own life. And when it comes to a dream, a vision, we need to have faith. We need to have faith. We need to have big faith. You know, the Bible says in Mark 9:23, everything is possible for the person who has faith. All things are possible to them that believe, another translation says. So turn to your neighbor and ask them, do you have faith? Then all things are possible. If you have faith, all things are possible. Amen? Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You can't please God without faith. Now, with God, all things are possible, and without faith, you can't please God. The third scripture is Matthew 9:29 says, according to your faith, let it be done unto you. Who said that? Those are the words of Jesus. He often asked people, what do you want from me? And then when they told him, he says, according to your faith, let it be done to you. So you've got to have faith for the vision that God has given you. You've got to have faith for the dream that God has given you. Now, you don't want to go and make up your own vision and make up your own dream. You want to receive your vision. You want to receive your dream for your life from God. Amen? Every single one of us have been patterned differently. Amen? Some of us are great at maths. Some of us are great at English. Some of us are great at arts. Some of us are great at music. God has given you unique set of abilities and skills and gifts for you to be uniquely who you are. Amen? Now, I might think you're weird, but don't worry about me. Don't worry about me. You might think I'm weird. But God has given you specific gifts for you to use. And what you need to do is find out from God, God, what would you have me do? What would you have me do? How would you want me to move? Where do I go from here? It's very, very important for you to hear and to understand the vision that God has given you. Now, the steward should have an outline for you. If you haven't already received it, they should be handing them out. If you've got one in your hand, just raise your hands for me. Let me just see. Okay, they haven't handed them out yet. Okay. I think we're going to need about 3 or 4 stewards really quickly just to grab these and hand them out to you. I'm giving you an outline so that you can make some notes in it and so that you can take the outline home with you. When you leave here, you can write some notes in, you can take this home and you can go back, you can read the scriptures, you can pray over it, and you can reflect on it, okay? So we're using for a title this morning, Created to Dream, Created for Vision, Created to See Stuff, amen? You've been created to dream, okay? And so the way that God works with you in your life is he builds faith in you because everything is possible to those who believe, who have faith. Thank you so much. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. And according to your faith, be it known or be it done unto you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay, so there are 6 phases that we're going to look at today, different phases that God takes us through on our way to building a life in him. 6 phases that God takes us through as we learn how to manifest or see manifested the dream that God has prepared for us. Okay? So we've looked at those scriptures, and now we want to take this a little further. Now, today we're going to look at the 6 phases very quickly, and then next week onwards we're going to go into each one of them and build on each of these very, very important things. Now, the first thing that God does in building these 6 phases of faith in your life is he gives you a dream. He gives you a vision. And Ephesians 3:20 says, God is able to do far more than we can dare to ask or even dream of, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. God is able to do far more than you can ever dream, desire, imagine, think about, or hope for. So don't limit God. Don't limit what God can do in your life. Believe that God can do anything. And if he gives you a dream, if he gives you a vision of something, then he can surely fulfill it. Now, Noah had a dream from God. He was told to build an ark, and it took him, I think, 120 years to build the ark. But he acknowledged the dream from God, and he pursued it. Abraham was told, leave your family and leave your familiarity and go to another land, which I will show you, and possess the land and excel in that land. Many of our parents were told that, weren't they? Go to another land that I will show you. And they crossed the sea in ships and in boats and in airplanes. And they went to a different land and they planted their families there. Abraham received that dream. Joseph was given a dream of leadership. He was young. He was with his brothers and he saw himself in a leadership capacity. He told his brothers, they were not impressed and they did all sorts of things to stop him. And he went through hell. But God's dream, God's vision for his life came to pass, didn't it? And David had a dream. David had a dream to build a temple for God, a temple where people would come and worship and acknowledge God, and everything would be done in excellence and according to the pattern that God had given him. David had a dream. He was only a little shepherd boy, but God put a dream in his heart. He had to leave those sheep. He had to go kill a giant. He had to marry the king's daughter, and he had to possess the throne, and then he had to build the temple. Amen? Hallelujah. Nehemiah had a dream. Nehemiah heard that the walls of Jerusalem were destroyed, that they were buckled over, that they had been trampled down. And Nehemiah, he felt a dream coming up inside him, a vision coming up inside him. What if we could rebuild the wall? And God put that dream in his heart, and he went to the king and he says, King, I know you don't really business about my people and our city, but would you give me leave to go and build the wall? I've got a vision from God. And the foreign king gave him leave to go, and he rebuilt the walls. And when the enemy came to him and tried to get him to come down, he says, I'm up here doing a good work and I will not come down. He refused to be drawn by the gainsayers and the negative comments and those people who didn't believe that God could do what God said he would do. Paul had a great dream. Paul, the one who persecuted the Christian church. In fact, when Paul wanted to join the church, no one wanted him to join the church. No, you can't join that church. You used to persecute us. You could never be a Christian in a million years. But Paul had a dream and a vision. God knocked him to the ground and gave him a vision. He actually made him blind first, and then he gave him a vision. Sometimes we need to be blind to our old lives and our own ways in order for God to give us a new vision. And Paul received a vision from God. And when Paul got up and thought about the vision, he said, you know what I want to do? I want to spread the gospel to all the non-Jewish nations. I want to spread the gospel to the Gentiles. And I want to take the gospel to the capital city of the world. I want to take the gospel to Rome. And I even want to preach to the emperor. And Paul's dream came to pass. Paul preached the gospel over so many countries, and he had so many converts, non-Jewish converts, and eventually he got to Rome and he preached the gospel. Amen? The first phase of you fulfilling God's will for your life, God's purpose for your life, and God's purpose for his churches, you've got to be filled with a dream. Now, the second one is really important also. Not only do you need to be filled with a dream, but the second phase of faith building is you gotta make a decision. James 1, 6, 8 says, you must believe and not doubt. A double-minded man is unstable in all that he does. You've got to make a decision that you're going to move from where you are to where God says you need to go to. And if you don't move, if you don't make that decision, then nothing is going to happen. You have to determine that you are going to move from where you are. Now, if you think about the dream too much, and if you listen to other people around you, and if you look at your resources and your capabilities and your education and your qualification and your color and your creed and where you come from, you will talk yourself out of the vision. And that's what Gideon tried to do when the messenger came to him and said, what did he say to him? The Lord is with you, O mighty warrior. He said, what? If the Lord is with me, then how can all this be? How can our enemies be triumphing over us? How can we be in this position if the Lord is with me? The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And he asked God for proof. And God was gracious enough to give him the proof and show him that he would be a mighty warrior. Sometimes we need to beat our own chest, stand up and look in the mirror and say, look at yourself in the mirror and say, the Lord is with me. mighty warrior. You're a mighty warrior. Why don't you tell your neighbor, you're a mighty warrior. Tell somebody else, you're a mighty warrior. You're a mighty warrior. You can do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, there are two things that you must do if you are going to move according to the decisions that God wants you to move. The first thing is you've got to invest. You've got to invest in these things. You've got to invest your time. You've got to invest your money. You've got to invest your talent. You've got to invest your energy. You've got to invest your priorities. Now, you say, well, I want to start a new business. I want to launch a training company, or I want to become a football agent, or I want to be a property developer, or I want to run my own accounts firm, or I want to run my own marketing agency. Whatever it is, I want to be a consultant. You're going to have to invest your time in that. You're going to have to invest your money in that. It's going to cost you something. You're going to have to invest your talent in that. You're going to have to invest your energy in that, and you are going to have to invest your priorities in that. When I discovered that God was calling me to pastoral ministry, and after I got through the doubts and the fears and the anxieties, and I realized that God was serious about this thing, I had to make a decision to start. I had to go to Lorna and say, Lorna, I think Lord is calling me into ministry, and if I'm going to get into ministry, it's going to cost us something. How many of you know it's cost me so much time to fulfill the call of God on my life? It's cost me money, stacks and stacks of money. You know, when we started Micah Church, Lord and I had to put money in. 10 grand weren't enough. 20 grand weren't enough. I would be frightened to tell you how much of our own personal money we've invested in this church in order for this church to start. I can stand before you without a shadow of a doubt and tell you that I'm the biggest giver in this church. I can stand before you and say, I've given more money to this church than anybody else has given to this church. And every so often, I realize, oh dear, we need more money. And sometimes I have to dip into my own bank account and transfer grands over to Micah to make sure that we do what we do. It's going to cost you money. It's going to cost you talent. I've had to give all my gifts and all my talents and all my abilities over to the church. And I always say, Micah first, everything else second. Whatever gifts I have, I'll use them for business. I like business. I love business. I've asked God, let me do business alongside ministry. And he does allow me to do that. But it's always Micah first. It's always ministry first. It's always God first. And all those other things come second. I want to ask you, what's first in your life? If you're putting your business before the work of God, I don't think that's a great decision. Personally, I don't think it's a great decision. If I did that, I wouldn't be here. I was dreaming of being the prime minister or being a big politician, or being a great sales guru, or being, you know, just a wealthy person, maybe a multi-millionaire. But God's dream for me was so much better than my dream for myself. And so I had to invest my time, my money, my talent, my energy constantly, and my priorities. I'm constantly putting the work of God first, purely because that's the call on my life. Now, the call on your life might be different from the call of my life. You may not have been called to full-time ministry. You may not have been called to start a ministry. But whatever your call is, it's going to cost you these things. The second thing here is that you're going to have to let go of some stuff. You're going to have to let go of your comforts and your creature comforts and your security and you feeling that you've got your little life all sorted out and everything is all wonderful and hunky-dory. It's never going to be like that. You have to live on the edge if you're going to fulfill the dream that God has for your life. Now, the third phase in your walk of faith, in your walk towards the dream that God has created you for, is that you need to recognize that you are going to experience delays. Now, after David made a decision that he was going to leave those sheep and follow God, and after Abraham decided that he was going to leave his home and his father and everything he was familiar with, and he was going to get on that journey, and after Moses decided he was going to leave the security and the opulence of Pharaoh's household, can you imagine that? You're living under Pharaoh's household. He's adopted you as his son. You're going to leave all that wealth. You're going to get outside, and you're going to go and do in the wilderness. Once you make that decision to move, you are going to encounter some delays. You may feel God must do it now because God spoke now, but you're going to experience some delay. Has anyone here experienced some delays on the pursuit of their vision, on working to? Has anyone ever encountered that God takes you around a different route than the route that you kind of was thinking that he was going to take you on? And on that route, you see some giants in the land. Anybody with me? You see some giants in the land. On that way, you see some Malachites and some Jebusites and some Amorites and all the Ites and the Bites, all those different nations that you see en route to your vision. And, you know, the Cushites and all of these people. Why are these Ites and Bites coming out at me? Constant problems in this vision. What's going on? Why are they frustrating me like that? In ministry, we get all sorts of frustrations. Sometimes you same people, when you're trying to do ministry, and I watch and see some of the things you say, some of the things you do, and I think, oh my Lord, there they go again. Just being who they are. Just being their special self. And I have to have the tolerance like Moses to know that I can't beat you with a stick. Sometimes I want to beat you with a stick, but I know that if I beat you with a stick, or if I hit the rock, God's going to beat me. And so sometimes I have to say, oh dear, there they go again. But allow them. They're only human. They're only flesh. Amen? And sometimes God takes us around the route. And you know what? I was talking this morning with somebody about some of the trials of life. Like, I'm having some trials in my knees at the moment. It's been a long process getting back to healing. I'm almost there. But you know what? Some of these pains and difficulties that we go through, even in our marriages, even in our relationships, they are there to build character in us. You know, that while we're going through these hardships, we're learning all sorts of lessons of life. We're building character. We're perfecting our character and our conduct. Amen? And so we need to understand that sometimes we are going to experience delays. And we ask God, why? Why am I waiting? Why are we waiting? You know, why are we waiting, Lord? What are we waiting for? But Noah waited 120 years. Abraham waited 99 years just to have one child, just to have one son. And then he had, wow, I think Abraham probably had about 30 sons by the time he finished. Because he had the first two that we know about, Ishmael and Isaac. And then the Bible says that with Keturah, after Sarah died, he married again. And he had, six Arab princes born to Abraham. Do you know that Abraham is the father of the Arabs? Born to Abraham. Six Arab princes born to him. Ishmael had, how many sons did Ishmael had? Ishmael had a whole load of sons. Ishmael. So it gave Abraham loads of grandsons. And now some of you people coming from the Caribbean and from Asia and from Africa, now you're singing, Father Abraham has many sons. Many sons has Father Abraham. And I am one of them. Amen? And so are you. We're all sons of Abraham. Amen? And Jesus said, if you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's seed and you are heirs and entitled to Abraham's stuff according to the promise that God gave Abraham. How many of you are claiming that promise? I'm Christ, so I'm Abraham's seed and I'm an heir to the promise. I can go into the will and I can say, give me back my stuff because that belongs to Abraham. Abraham's my father and that's my inheritance. I'm receiving it in Jesus' name. I'm an heir according to the promise. So sometimes you've got to wait for stuff to appear. Now, not only will you experience delay on the way, but you're also going to experience difficulties. Anybody experience difficulties? Challenges. And sometimes the biggest difficulties are created by ourselves. We become our biggest enemy and we create the most obstacles. Now, how many of you will be honest enough to say some of the biggest mistakes in life, some of the biggest challenges I had in life, it was my own fault. It was me. It was me. It was my own fault. I sabotaged my own success. But I often say about young people when they don't want to study, they don't want to go uni, they don't want to study in their school, in their classes. I say, don't worry, man. They're going to go to university no matter what happens. No matter what happens, they're going to university. They're going to the university of life. And they're going to the university of hard knocks. They're going to the university of motherhood. They're insisting to go there. They're only 16, but they want to go there. I want to go to the University of Motherhood. Go on, man, go on. Go on. You think it's easy down there? I know loads of people who went down there and they graduated with masters. But trust me, it nearly killed them. They went through trials. They went through tribulations. They went through difficulties. Because, you know, if you don't hear, you have to feel. There's the old saying, all who can't hear will have to feel. You know, if you can't listen to other people's experience, you're going to have to experience it for yourself. Better to listen to the kind messenger than to experience the cruel messenger. When the kind messenger come up, come on, man, come on, come in. Are you the kind messenger? Yes, I'm the kind messenger. Come on in. Tell me, give me a word, give me a word, give me a word. Some of you are like running the kind messenger. No, I don't want to hear nothing from you, Pastor Dennis. Nothing from you. Okay, don't worry, I'm leaving, but the cruel messenger's coming. Let me just tell you that the cruel messenger is 10 times worse than me. And some of you are like, you're the cruel messenger. Come on in. Is you me I'm waiting for? Come on. It's you I'm waiting for. Come on in. And the cruel messenger comes in and he starts to unpack his bags and show you what's what. And you ain't going to like that. You ain't going to like what the cruel messenger's coming with. So listen to the kind messenger. In this life, we will all face difficulties. We will all face challenges. It doesn't matter how good we are. Doesn't matter how well behaved we are. We're going to experience challenges in this life. And we need to know that they're there. Two obstacles that you're going to meet on the way. The first one is circumstances, just life's circumstances. And the second one that you're going to have to deal with is critics. Now, life circumstances, we just don't know what's around the corner. We just don't know the hand that we've been dealt with. And for those of you who get married, boy, that ain't easy because you've now got to navigate someone else. And their preferences and their thoughts and their ideas. And that person is there to help shape you and mold you. And marriage is not easy. It's not easy. It's challenging. Business partnership is not easy. You get a business partner and all of a sudden you can't just do what you want. You got to consult that person. You got to get them involved. They want to do differently from what you want to do. So, you know, partnerships of any kind are not easy. Amen? How many of you got a senior mother or a senior father? You know, they're up in age and you're beginning to navigate with them. How many of you know that these relationships, sibling, children and adult, children and parent relationships, particularly when your parents are getting older, it's not easy. Let me get a witness. It's not easy. It's not easy. It's not easy because now you feel like you know everything and there's your parent trying to tell you everything again. And sometimes you have to be parenting your parent. You know, relationships are not easy. If you've got siblings, relationships are not easy. You sitting there, you want to tell your siblings what to do. You want to tell your siblings about themselves, but you can't just do that. You know, you have to negotiate. You have to give and take. Friendships are testing and taxing. If you are in a relationship with anyone, it's not going to be an easy ride. It's going to be challenging. That is why Lorne and I, we laugh so much and we jeer one another constantly because we are so different and we are so alarmed at how different we can be. But we found that to survive that, we might as well make a laugh, we might as well make a joke of it. Because boy, it's really weird, it's really funny, she's really different. Amen? And so we make humor of it because we make light humor of it because that, you know, a little encouragement and a little laughter just lightens the load along the way. Don't take yourself too seriously. And don't take the other person too seriously either. But don't take yourself too seriously. And remember that the person with the most flexibility is the person that wins. You know? And if there's a problem, I'm the problem. I've just determined that the fastest way to win in life is just accept that I'm the problem. It's my responsibility. And if it's going to be, it's up to me. And if there needs to be an apology, I'm going to apologize first. I can't take the long thing. Just go quickly to the solution. Yeah? And just be responsible for everything. Just go up on that cross and just say, I will die. You experience it, brother? Go up on that cross and just say, I will die that I might live. It's the quickest route to success. You're there waiting on other people. You might die while you're waiting on those other people. You do it. You apologize first. You say sorry first. You be the peacemaker first. Amen? My wife is not a great starter, but she's an amazing finisher. If I start apologizing, she will start apologizing too. If I start the cooking, she'll run behind me and start the cooking. If I start washing up the dishes, cleaning the house, she'll wash up the dishes and clean the house. I found out that she wants a good leader. She wants a good leader. She's a great follower. But that means then that I need to lead. You can't be sitting around waiting for your partner to do it all. You got to get up and do it yourself. Start. And then your partner will help you. Life is full of challenges. Noah found that life was difficult when the people started laughing at him. But he knew it. When this 120 years is finished, I don't know how long it's going to last, but when it's finished, I'm going to have the last laugh. I'm going to be on the boat, and the rest of you are going to be in the rain. Joseph, while he was going through his trials and while he was in prison, it must have been very hard for Joseph to persevere the prison sentence. But he knew that I'll overcome these difficulties eventually. I'll overcome. And God's people in the wilderness, they were going round and round and round and round. It was really difficult, but they knew in the end they would get through. And so the next phase then is dead end. Dead end. Sometimes we feel as though we've come to a dead end. We feel as though, you know, I'm stuck. I really don't know what to do next. Paul said, you know, on one occasion they were completely overwhelmed. At that time, we were completely overwhelmed. The burden was more than we could bear. In fact, we told ourselves that this was the end. We told ourselves that this was the end. Yet, we now believe that we had this sense of impending disaster. Anyone ever experienced that? A sense of impending disaster, so that we might learn to trust not in ourselves, but in God, who can raise the dead. And if he can raise the dead, he can sure fix my problem. Amen? And so, you know, we will come to that dead end like the children of Israel came to the Red Sea, and they thought, we can't go forward into the sea. We can't go backwards into the Egyptian army. So what are we going to do? But at that moment in time when God knew they needed help, he parted the Red Sea for them. They walked through on dry land. And God will part the Red Sea for you so that you will walk through on dry land. If you don't give up and if you hang out and you trust God, God will make a way of escape for you every time you meet a dead end. Amen? Every time you meet a dead end. Okay, so the next phase then, the sixth and last phase, is deliverance. Deliverance. Okay, he has delivered and he will deliver us again and again. In Psalms 27:13, the writer said, I am expecting the Lord to rescue me so that once again I will see his goodness to me. How many of you are expecting the Lord to rescue you? My trust is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not. He brought me out of the miry clay. He put my feet on a rock to stay. He put a song in my heart today. Songs of praise. Hallelujah. So Joseph was in prison, but he came out. God delivered him. Jesus was crucified. He was in the earth for 3 days and 3 nights. But guess what? He was resurrected. He came up in a glorified body and he said, it is I. Daniel was in the lion's den. You're scared of fox? You're scared of dog? Daniel was in the lion's den with lions roaring at him, gnashing their teeth. But God silenced them, and Daniel came out of the lion's den. In fact, the men, when they looked, they said, listen, didn't we throw 3 men into that thing there? And into that fire? And we've seen 4 in there. One of them looks like the Son of Man. God will be in the fire with you, as long as you took God in the fire with you. Amen? Don't leave God outside the fire. You're going in the fire? Take God in the fire. So Lord, Lord, come in the fire with me. Lord, I'm going in the fire. I'm going to meet them. It's a business meeting. They don't look good, Lord. I'm going in the fire, but would you come with me in the fire? Would you come with me in the fire? If God goes in you with you in the fire, you'll be coming out all right, because God ain't staying in the fire. He's coming out. And he's able to bring you out of the fire. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so to close, there are many examples. There's some scriptures you can look at. I think they're on your outline. You can go back and do your own study. Noah was a great example. Abraham was a great example. Joseph was a great example. Moses was a great example. David was a great example. And that ultimate, Jesus was and is an amazing example of what God can do. Let's bow our heads.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope it blessed you. And if it did, please like, comment, and subscribe for more videos from Micah. And don't forget to click the notification bell to see when they're uploaded. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you in the next one.